الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or this Islamic studies class is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. Also, I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you chose or you choose to practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those of you who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. I also want to mention that I am unapologetic when it comes to any authentic rites and rituals associated with the Islamic faith. Today's topic or today's subject we're going to discuss will be rewards from Allah. Now, we have different types of rewards, and you'll find that out later on, but I want you to quickly open up your Quran to chapter 10, verse 26. That's chapter 10, verse 26, and then I'll begin reading in a moment once you get to that page, that chapter, and also that particular verse. And keep in mind that some Qurans are different. That means that different in terms of, because Quran, the original words are in Arabic. The original words from Allah, Kalam Allah, is Arabic. But some translations of the from the Arabic to English or Spanish or French, whatever language you're going to be reading in, of course, they have different translation. And so I'm going to read the translation that I have. And it says, again, in chapter 10, verse 26, those who do good deeds shall have a good reward and even more than they deserve. Neither darkness nor disgrace shall cover their faces. They will be the inhabitants of paradise. They will live therein forever. So when you do the good deeds, worshiping Allah, obeying the Prophet, being good to people, being good to your parents, being good to your neighbor, helping those people that are in need, those are all great and good deeds to do. And of course, those who do good deeds shall have a good reward, even more than they deserve, more beyond your imagination, the great rewards that you're going to get because you do good deeds. There's a lot of evil in the world. Wherever you live, wherever you listen to my voice, you could probably point out evil that's taking place in your vicinity. I don't care where you live in the world. Something's going on that's not right. Maybe in your own household, there are things taking place that are not right, that are said that are not right to be said. And you hear these things taking place. And in Islam, when you hear a wrong or something disturbing you, then Islamically, we are directed to change it with our hand. And if we're not able to do that for some reason, then we are encouraged to say something with our mouth. And then if we are able to do that, then we are encouraged to at least hate it in our heart, at least hate that act that is taking place, that is wrong, that is around us. But we want to encourage people to do good to the best of our ability and also encourage them to stay away from bad to the best of our ability. Now, for those who do evil, Allah says, and it's going to be in the same chapter, chapter 10, verse 27. Again, chapter 10, verse 27, which, of course, is the next verse. As for those who have done evil deeds, they will be rewarded with like evil. Disgrace will cover them. They shall have none to protect them from Allah, as if their faces have been covered with patches of dense darkness of night. They will become the inmates of the fire. They will live therein forever. So for those people, that evil or that nasty is going on around you, this is what's going to be the end result of those particular individuals. The ones that are doing these bad and evil and nasty things. And if you're the one, it's going to happen to you too. You're not above that. You may think you have all the ruling in the world. You can rule everyone. You can tell everyone what to do. But the final thing that's going to take place is in the hands of Allah. Unless Allah forgive you, unless you repent for the actions that you are doing, truly repent, not just repent for the moment and then go back and do the same thing over and over and over again. Allah, He wants you to repent. But Allah also wants us not to do evil deeds, because the end result of people who doing evil is, as I said before, they will become the inmates of the fire. They will live therein forever. Can you imagine? No death. Once the day of resurrection takes place, the day of judgment takes place, death really will be killed. Well, that's the best way for me to put it. And so when you go to paradise, you will be in paradise forever. When you go to the hellfire, you will be in a hellfire forever. You will never, ever get kicked out of paradise. Never. That's what Allah promised us. And also those who are in a hellfire, they will be in a hellfire forever. Now, there may be some that Allah will only dip or put in the hellfire for a little while. But as far as paradise, no one will leave paradise. That's your place you earned. But in the hellfire, if Allah has some mercy on some that's going to be kind of dipped in it or just stay for a little while and He take them out, that's the will of Allah. I have nothing to say over that regarding that. By far being kicked out of paradise, it's a beautiful place, as I explained to you. Go back to some of our classes we've done in the past, and you can see for yourself that what paradise is like and what it looks like. And that's what we are trying to earn. So if you're the evil one now, you need to straighten out your ways. You're the bad one now, you need to straighten out your ways. You do nothing but hurt people, you need to straighten out your ways, because you're not getting away with it, no matter where you do it. Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So Allah certainly know what you're doing. As I mentioned often, that you have two angels with you. You have one on your right shoulder writing down your good deeds, and one on your left shoulder writing down your bad deeds. So you're not getting away with anything. Anything that you do, anything that you say, they are there writing that. That's their job. They don't grow tired. They don't go on vacation. That's their job. Well, my advice for you is the one on your left shoulder writing down your bad deeds to do less bad deeds. We want this one on our left shoulder to take a kind of a vacation, take a rest. And then we want the one on our right shoulder, and I'm just sort of joking with this, is that one to get like writer's cramp. Just write and write and write all the good deeds that you're doing. Even what I'm saying right now, they're writing these things down. If I do something in the light or in darkness, they're going to write these things down. They're going to do their job. It's no negotiation with them. It is no bribing them or anything like that. They are going to do their job. They are not human. They have that one job they're going to do, and that's what they do. The angel of death had the job to take the souls of the people at a particular time, at a particular place, on a particular day or whatever. Then the angel of death is going to come and do his job. And the angels, Mukarrar Nakir, those are the ones that are in the grave. And they're the ones that question the people in the graves. They sit up and ask them various questions. They are going to do their job. So I just want to let you know that this situation is a serious situation, and that you may think, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You'll find out. But don't find out when it's too late, when you're in on the other side of Barzakh, when you're dead. Then you want to go back and change things. Oh, Allah, let me go back and change things. There's an ayah in the Quran where Allah says, when you go back, you're probably going to end up doing the same thing. And for us, and those people who are believers and worship Allah, and want, and those people fight in the cause of Allah, those kind of things, they want to go back. Oh Allah, no, I see the good that I'm getting. Thank you so much. Let me go back and do some more good. I see the reward that you say you're going to give to me because I've done so much good on the earth. Let me go back and do some more good on the earth. And then the base will say, you know, relax. Don't go. You know, you've done your job. You've done your job. Just relax and to wait for the day of judgment to come, and then you get your reward. Even the people in the grave that are waiting for the goodness to come to them, they're like saying, like when is it going to come, Allah? Hurry up and take the people in the world out so that I can go and enjoy the goodness that you have for me, that are waiting for me in the paradise. Also, Allah says, it's going to be same chapter 10, verse 4. Again, chapter 10, verse 4. And it says, to him you shall all return. Allah's promise is true. He is the one who originates the process of creation and repeats it. And repeats it will bring it back to life, so that he may justly reward those who believe in him and do righteous deeds. As for those who disbelieved, they shall have boiling fluids of drink and shall undergo a painful punishment because they rejected the truth. So we have two things going on. The reward of those who believe in Allah and do righteous deeds. And then what happens to those who disbelieve, those what they would drink and what they, a punishment or the pain they would go through because they rejected the truth. So you have the ones that accepted the truth, meaning worship Allah and follow the Prophet Muhammad and obey Allah and obey the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And then those who disbelieved in that and went the opposite way and rejected the truth. And so that's going to be the outcome. It's no gray area. It's no mixing of black and white together, which pretty much makes gray. It's no gray area. It's black and it's white. Either you're going to the paradise or you're going to the hellfire. No in between. Also, Allah says in chapter 13, verse 18. Again, that's chapter 13, verse 18. And while you turn into that page, that particular page and verse, I want you all to keep in mind that what I try to do to the best of my ability is come from the two main sources of Sharia. Sharia is Islamic law. The first source is Quran. Revelation sent to mankind, the last revelation sent to mankind from Allah. And it's Kalam Allah. It is the what we call the language or the words of Allah. And also we're talking about the second source of Sharia, which is from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. He explains the Quran to us. And also he does certain thing or did certain thing while he was alive for the 63 years he was alive and told us certain thing to do and not to do. He was an extremely fair man. It doesn't matter if a Muslim and a non-Muslim come to him and they have an argument between the two of them. He doesn't judge on a person based on just because they're Muslim. No, he listens to everything that each person has to say and then he'll judge accordingly. If the Muslim was right, he'll tell the Muslim you were right. If the non-Muslim was right, he would tell the non-Muslim you were right. Basically, you were right, non-Muslim, and you Muslim, you were wrong. Or you were right, Muslim, and non-Muslim, you were wrong. He was a very fair man. And that's how Muslims are supposed to be and have to be, being fair to all. Let me move on. Again, chapter 13. Verse 18, and it says, there's an excellent reward for those who respond to the call of their Rabb, meaning their Lord, Allah. As for those who do not respond to him, even if they had all that is in the earth, and much besides, to offer as ransom in order to save themselves from punishment, it will be of no use. They are the ones who will have terrible reckoning. Their abode will be hell. What an evil resting place. So I just want to put more emphasis, or Allah put more emphasis on the reward of those who respond to Allah's call. Allah says, don't do something, we don't do it. He says, go up, we directly go up. He says, go down, we go down. We go to right, we go right. Go left, we go right. We immediately respond to Allah to the best of our ability. Of course, those who do not respond to Allah, even if they gave, want to give Allah all that they have, all the, to ransom themselves, they will not be able to ransom themselves from the punishment that awaits them because of their disobedience to Allah. Now, Allah further says, again, this is going to be in chapter 13. It's going to be verse 35. Again, chapter 13. Verse 35. And it says, as for the paradise which the righteous have been promised, it is like this. Rivers flow beneath it. Eternal are its fruits, and eternal are its shades. Such is the reward of the righteous. But the reward of the unbelievers is the fire. Now, have you all ever experienced just a little bit of a flame or fire burn your hand or burn your fingers or anything like that? Let's say, for example, I'm going to assume pretty much all over the world people boil egg for the most part. They may do other things with it. They get it cooked. But I'm talking about boil egg, putting eggs inside of a pot or a pan or something like that and put water in it and then put a flame underneath it and then the water bubbles up and it cooks the egg from the inside. And of course, you take it out or take it off of the stove or the oven, and then you might run some water on it, cool it down. But then, even when you do that, you take the egg out, the boiled egg out, and then you try to open it up. And sometimes it's too hot to open up; it's still too hot. Just that little bit. Can you imagine? Just that little bit of pain. It's nothing compared to what people are going to go through who are in the hellfire. If that little bit of pain is going to bother you, just think what's going to happen when you're in the hellfire because you disobeyed Allah. And it says here, the reward of the disbelievers is the fire. That's their reward that they get. That's what they earned. And a person who does a good deed or doing a good deed, their reward will be paradise. The reward for the unbelievers, for the disbelief, will be the fire. I'm trying to give out kind of a worldwide example because my class will talk worldwide, and pretty much everyone boils egg, pretty much. But still, your egg is not fully cooled down, and it burns your hand. And you got to put it down, just that little bit. Can you imagine? Just that little bit for a few seconds. Then your hand cools off, and then you can try again. You cool the egg down, then you can try again to open up to take the shell off the egg. Now the thing is that it's no shell, it's no anything, no cooling down in the hellfire. That's what you earn, or that's what the individual earned, then that's what they're going to be, filling the flames of the fire over and over and over again. Methel, what do I mean by that? Over and over again. It's like we don't have these normal bodies we have right now, these little bodies. Our bodies are going to be extremely big, large. And then we're going to get all of the skin that's on our body, go through all the pain of our skin on our body, and it's all going to be burnt off. Then after that, we think it's over. No, it's not over. Allah allows our skin to rejuvenate, and then we get burnt off again. And then we go through the pain again, and then over and over, these things keep happening over and over again. So not like the boiled egg, just quickly burn your fingers, relax a little while, and then it cools down. No, the person will be burnt over and over and over and over again. The least punishment in the grave is like a little flame underneath your foot. If you see sparks coming from a fire, next time you see a fire, are you in some, maybe some people go to the desert or whatever and light a fire, and flames kind of pop off of the fire. Or wherever you may be, you may see some flames pop. Just think that one of those little embers, one of those little flames that popping up, that little thing gets underneath your foot, your sole of your foot. And then your brain starts to boil. That may be the least punishment in the grave. And so I'm going to move on, because I think you all pretty much get the idea. And the next verse we're going to read is chapter 39, verses 73 through 75. That's chapter 39, verses 73 through 75. And what it says is this: as for those who fear their Rabb, they shall be led towards paradise in groups. When they reach there, its gates will be open, and its keepers will say, "Peace be upon you." Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to move on. You have done well. Now enter to live therein forever. They will say, Praise be to Allah, who has truly fulfilled His promise and gave us this land to inherit. Now we can live in paradise wherever we like. How excellent will be the reward for the righteous? You will see the angels surrounding the divine throne, glorifying their Rabb with His praises. The judgment between the people will be made with perfect justice, and it will be proclaimed, "Peace be to Allah, the Rabb of the worlds." This is such a beautiful thing, to come to the gates, to come to the bab, to come to the door, and then greeted with "Assalamu alaikum." May peace be upon you. Come in. You have earned this. You have earned this land. You have earned this place you're coming into. May Allah bless us all to be Muslim, obey Allah, and enter paradise. Ameen. We're going to move on, my students, and let's go to now. We're going to talk about some of the ways we are rewarded. And this is going to be the Prophet Muhammad. He's going to mention some other ways in which we are rewarded. And it was mentioned that the Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, he said, "He who provides for the breaking of the fast of another earns the same merit as the one who was observing the fast without diminishing in any way the reward of the latter." In other words, with a personal fast, a Muslim, we fast every Ramadan for 29, 30 days from sunup to sundown. When it's before the sun comes up, we can eat. As the sun goes down, we can eat. But while the sun is in the sky, we cannot eat anything, drink anything, have sex with our wives and the like, and with our husbands and the like. So it mentions here that when the breaking of the fast, time for the breaking of the fast comes, and there's sort of in the east, you sort of see this redness in the sky. That's time of breaking of the fast. And some places they have cannons, or they have horns, or they have some way of letting the people know the fast is time. It's time to break the fast. And so when this happens, if a person is a sort of rushed to give someone, say you haven't fasted that day, if rushed to give someone something to eat or something to drink, a date or something like that, or a piece of bread to break their fast, you also get the reward of their fasting without taking away any diminishing at all any of their fasting that they did that day. You didn't fast at all, but you gave that person something to eat or something to drink, and you also get the same benefit of that person that just fasts. So I encourage people, particularly during the month of Ramadan, is that to, as much as possible, donate some money to the masjid or to the centers wherever you go, that so that they can feed the people or give people something to drink when they break their fast, so you can get those multiple things of the multiple times of the people who are fasting, inshallah, and that you will also get the reward of the fasting. And I suggest in your wasila, in your will, that you put in there, a certain amount of your money can go towards giving people something to drink or something to eat during the month of Ramadan. That way, while you're in your grave, you are still receiving reward from Allah. Because once a person goes in their grave, their book is closed. That's it. But you can continue to receive rewards if, for example, you donate money to the masjid or to your family, and you tell them each year during Ramadan, give the money to the masjid so they can feed the people, or give the people something to drink or something to eat when they break their fast. So that's just what my advice to you, if you're able to do so. I'm going to move on. Spending in the cause of Allah is another way of receiving rewards from Allah. And that is, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, he who spends in the cause of Allah has his reward 700 times. Can you imagine? Let me explain that even further. There's a parable, or there's a story or example in the Quran where it talks about the person giving a sadaqah, or giving something in charity. Just giving one thing in charity is like planting a seed in the ground. And a seed in the ground grows into a plant or a stalk. And on that stalk, you have 7 ears. And on each ear, you have 100 grains, 100 kernels. That's the 700 we're talking about here. It's like just giving that one sadaqah, that one charity that you gave to someone. It is considered, as it says here, he who spends in the cause of Allah has his reward 700 times. And that's an example of what I just mentioned, 700 times the reward that one get. So I want you to, as much as possible, give and give and give and give and give so that you can receive the reward. I want to encourage those who are non-Muslims to look into Islam more. Don't go by the hype of what people put out there about Islam. Because a lot of things they put out there about Islam is not true. You investigate for yourself. You have your own mind. You use your own intelligence. And you go someplace and you find out true information about Islam. It is not always online, because sometimes things online are not accurate. I'm going to give you some places to go to get some true information about Islam when I get through with the particular class, which only going to be a few more minutes. Also, people who are attending Friday prayers. The Muslim congregational prayers on Friday, the Jewish people congregational prayers on Saturday, and the Christian people congregational prayer is on Sunday. And so for us, we call it Jumu'ah, our Jumu'ah services. It was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, if anyone washes and bathes on Friday, goes out early walking, not riding, goes near to the imam and listen without interrupting, he will have the reward of a year's fasting and praying for every step he takes. This is a beautiful thing. Just going to the masjid, called a congregational prayer. The masjid, of course, that's the name of our place of worship. Masjid is M-A-S-J-I-D. And so going there for a congregational prayer, listen to the khutbah, listen to the sermon of the khatib, or the person who is delivering the khutbah, the sermon giver. Don't say anything to anyone while he's talking. Don't be whispering anything to while anyone's talking. Don't be looking on your cell phone while the person is talking and looking at other things on your cell phone. Don't be doing that. Listen intently to what the person is saying. Get some knowledge from what the person is saying, some ilm from what the person is saying. And then you can leave and go back to wherever you're going. For this particular person, there are much reward for this particular person that does something like that. I want to mention a couple more things, and then I will stop. And calling people to what is right also is a way of getting reward. It was narrated by Abu Huraira. He's one of the companions of the Prophet. He said, Allah's apostle, peace and blessing upon him, he said, he who called people to righteousness, there will be a reward assured for him, like the rewards of those who adhere to it, without their rewards being diminished in any respect. And he who called people to error, meaning to evil, he shall have to carry the burden of his sins, like those who committed it, without their sins being diminished in any respect. In other words, I'm calling people to righteousness, or you're calling people to righteousness, then you would get the reward of that person doing righteous deed, obeying the law and obeying the prophet without taking anything from the first person. without taking anything from them, the ones that are actually doing the good deed. Taking nothing, absolutely nothing from their reward. You get some of that reward because you're inviting people to do the good deeds. On the opposite, relax, is that when you invite people to do sins, encourage them to do sins, they get the sin or to get the punishment of the sin, and you also get the punishment of the sin that is being committed. Even just doing something for your family, you get blessings. If a man spends, or this is from the proper high priest, please be upon him, if a man spends on his family with the intention of having a reward from Allah, seriously for Allah's sake, then it is a kind of alms, a kind of charity, and a reward for him. Just for merely feeding one's family, one gets a reward from Allah. So that's a responsibility from the beginning. But the thing is, we want to do as much good to our family, feed our family, clothe our family, make sure they have housing, and we also get the reward of that. So who does not want to do that? You have a family, you have responsibility of taking care of your family, not somebody else, some other man or some other woman taking care of your family. That is your responsibility. You made that family. You have the responsibility of taking care of that family. Now, I mentioned earlier about other places you can get some knowledge of Islam, and one would be whyislam.org. You can find out more information about Islam. You can learn more information about Islam also from American Open University and also the International Online University. You can learn more about Islam, true Islam, not Islam watered down or anything like that. We're talking about true Islam. So you go to these three sources. I may have more sources in the future. Allah knows best. But these are three main sources I know about, I work with, or I went to these universities. And you can get really sound information from them. You have been attending the Islamic Studies, Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.